Heavenly Father, reading those words, you are awesome. You are awesome. And also to see the place and privilege that Christ has been given, enthroned in heaven at your right-hand side with all power and authority and dominion, and every title that can be given placed upon him. And he is there to intercede for us, to bless us, and he loves us. That is amazing, and what a privilege that means for us. Dear God, help me to do justice to this text. Help me to be able to simply explain it and explain it simply. And please, may your Holy Spirit be opening the eyes of our hearts that we might be enlightened, that we might understand and truly know what this means for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If we are connected with Christ, we are connected to an unimaginable power. So it was what I was trying to communicate to the kids, but I want to communicate it to you too. It is truly unimaginable, incomparable, incomprehensible, that power. And not therefore that we will be powerful. No, no. He has shown thee what is good. And what does God require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our Lord. It's not about us being powerful. It's about his power working through us, and that power principally is the power of love. To be filled up with love so full, and that it just spreads, and that we, as Paul would say, would be like the fragrance of Christ, this fragrance of love just emanating from us. Oh, how blessed our families would be, our marriages would be, if that love could be working powerfully in and through us. Sí o no? Yes or no in Spanish, those of you who don't speak it. So let's just go through verse by verse this text that was just read for us. Starting with verse 15, Paul writes, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." We get a glimpse of Paul's prayer life here. And he practiced what he preached. Because first of all, he said that we should give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. He said that in 1 Thessalonians 5. And so he does. He just gives thanks in all circumstances. And I'll tell you what, if we would practice that in our daily living, it would transform our lives. Our whole perspective, our whole outlook would change. Too many times, it's like our perspective is just darkened. It's critical. It's of ourselves, of others. It's pessimistic. It can be downright awful. But if our whole thought pattern would change to that of thanksgiving, wouldn't we just light up? Just like I was saying to the kids. And so to live a life of thanksgiving is what Paul preached and taught and lived. And boy, did he light up this world. The Apostle Paul did. But he also had a great prayer life of intercession. It was this consistent and constant praying for. You would read that in many of his letters and many of his epistles. He would talk about how constantly he would be praying for them. And he did. And if we would just come to understand, I'm trying to grasp this one too and constantly remind myself, God can do more in 3 seconds than I can do in 3 lifetimes. Can we agree to that? I mean, God can do more in 3 seconds, snap of the fingers, than I could work and slave and thrive and in 3 lifetimes. So why am I just beating myself up all the time thinking it's all on me, all the responsibilities on me, and fretting and growing anxious because all these things that I'm trying to do, when God just invites us and says, come lay that on my here at my feet. Just bring it to me. I'll help you. He's got incomparable power, incomprehensible power. And when he engages in the situation, wow. So why don't we spend more time in intercession, therefore? But that was Paul's practice. And again, that man lit up this world for Christ, didn't he? And we can too. We really can. So again, that glimpse of Paul's prayer life, I want to continue with verse 17. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. What is that spirit of wisdom and revelation? Here it is. That to know Christ is greater than anything else in all of this universe. In fact, everything else, Paul would say, is a complete loss. It's a complete wash. In fact, he goes on and says, it is rubbish. And what he's trying to say is, all these things that we are anxious about and striving for and working so hard for, all these things that have nothing to do with God, it's just rubbish. And it is such a loss compared to knowing Christ, he says. That's the ultimate. To know Him, and as Paul would say it in Philippians, I think it was, to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the sharing of His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, to know Christ, that's the ultimate. That's what we should be striving for. Honestly, with all humility, how many times I hear people say, well, I can't seem to find time to read my Bible and have daily devotions. Really? Really? What is more important than knowing Christ? Really? What is more important in all the list of family activities? All the things that we do, the sports, the work, all the activities in our family life, what is more important than that we would come to know Christ and have an intimate relationship with Him? So what could be more important than sitting down at least once a day at a meal and opening our Bibles together as a family and reading from the Bible and personally opening up the Word and coming to know Him, and not just information, praying it through as I read, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me here? What does this mean for my life? What? Yeah. To come to know Him. Everything else is a loss. Point four, starting with verse 18. Now, one more thing I want to say about coming to know Him. Those who are investors here, I wanted to put it this way. If you are someone who does investing, maybe you've got some income set aside, and so you invest it, and that's great, that's wise. But what could be a greater investment in our life than investing our resources, our time, especially in getting to know Christ and coming to know Him? And if you think of it this way, and this is exactly what Jesus was saying when He said, how did He put it? What does it profit a person to gain the whole world and yet forfeit a soul? What He's saying is here, investors, what does it profit if you can gain so much growth of a portfolio and amass great material wealth, enjoy that wealth 80, 90, 100 years, God bless you, and then get to heaven and have God say, get away from me, you evildoer, I never knew you, and spend eternity in hell? Weigh it in the balance. What kind of investment, what am I investing in? Is it only things that are temporary? Because it's the unseen things that are eternal. And we need to be investing in the unseen things. That's what's important. That's why Paul would say, all else, all the rest of it, it's a loss. On the ledger, it is a loss. It's rubbish. Get to know Christ. That has value here in this life, and it has eternal value in the life to come. Get to know Christ. Nothing greater. Verse 18, Paul goes on, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, That's the work of the Holy Spirit, that He would enlighten our hearts. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. Oh, to know that hope which He has called you. Hope is one of the most powerful forces of God. Elizabeth one time heard a quote that we can live 40 days without food. We can go 7 days without water. We can go about 3 minutes without air, but you can't go 1 second without hope. Think about it. How important is hope? And I just want to call out to all who are weary, to all who are struggling, to all who are depressed, what God wants for you. He wants to endow you. He wants to lavish you with His grace and with hope. Get connected to Him. Connect with Him. And trust me, it will flow into you and through you. God's powerful hope. That's what He is longing to give you. And the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. What is this inheritance? In this life, it is a heart filled with love and joy and peace. And in the life to come, eternal life. Heaven, all of what heaven has to offer. Let's read about God's awesome power, starting in verse 19. And again, He's still praying that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know, verse 19, His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. This is awesome power. And this power, this incomparably great power, is for whom, He says? For us who believe. It's only those who connect to it. It's like that lamp. Useless if not connected. And so His incomparably great power is only available for those who are connected. For those who are in Him. Last week we talked about our position, our identity in Christ, and it literally reads that it is for those who are incorporated in Christ, or inserted, depends on the translation. We're incorporated and inserted into Christ. In fact, way more often in the Bible, it's not so much about Christ in us, it's about us in Christ. It's about 20 times verses 1, the number of verses that talk about us in Christ versus Christ in us. It's not little Christ in me. It's about little me in awesome, inserted in awesome Christ who is all-powerful. And so it's for those who believe we can tap into it. And God's will is that we might come to know and understand this great power and how it works within us. It is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It is literally a power that can do miracles, that can transform in a flash everything about us and about our lives. It can transform our families. It can give us hope. It can infuse peace. It can so infuse joy that just bursts upon us. This is God's power at work in us and working through us. And point number 6, let's talk about Christ's position and His power. End of verse 20. That God seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given. Who is this Christ? Wow. Not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet, and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Last week we studied about what Paul had to say about our identity and our position with God. And now what Paul is addressing is Christ's identity and revealing His position and power and His position with God. He is seated at God's right hand. He has been given all power over everything. And if that is true, then think about the words that if God is for us, who can be against us? If we are inserted, incorporated into Christ, if we are of Christ and Christ is with us and I am connected to Him and His power, His love, the fruit of the Spirit is just bursting upon me and in my home, in my heart, in my family, and if God is for me, what do I have to be anxious about anyway? All this power is accessible to me? Wow. And so Psalm 27:1, I begin to live out. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Nothing. No one. In fact, perfect love casts out all fear. So the only thing that behooves me then is to get more of His perfect love in me. How do I do that? Get into His Word. Get into prayer. Keep getting into fellowship. Fellowship with those who are trying to walk on this journey together. So keep staying connected with the church. And as you connect with that power, we can only imagine. No. Scripture says you cannot even imagine. You cannot even imagine what God is going to do in and through and for you and your family. So in closing, our whole outlook on life, our trajectory for life, the outcome of our life, our whole future in this life and the next, it all depends upon this understanding of our identity, who I am, and what God has called me to, and the identity of the one in whom I believe. So if you truly know that your identity is you are a precious child of God in whom He is so well pleased, you are His masterpiece. Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, His masterpiece, that's what He thinks of you. Crafted in Christ Jesus. That is your identity. And who is Christ? Who is His identity? All powerful and all loving. And He is all in favor of you and for you. He is with you. And if God is with us, nothing can stand against us. And so I urge you, claim your identity. Live out your identity and just stay connected. Stay connected with God. And you will thrive. May it be so, dear God. Amen.